But tonight, we have the prolific author of all of these books here. I think the last time you were here was for this book, is that right? So, The Five Things We Cannot Change. This is one of our best sellers here at Many Rivers Books. How to Be an Adult, something I'm still trying to accomplish. How to Be an Adult in Relationships, something it's very practical, very down to earth. And Catholic Means Universal, The Sacred Heart of the World, Shadow Dance, which is about Jungian psychology. And his latest book, which we're really happy to have here, is The Power of Coincidence. So it's my great pleasure to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea, Dave Rico.
Thank you all. And I'd like to thank Jim and Rob and Stuart for inviting me. It's nice to be here. I live half the year in Santa Barbara and half in San Francisco. So I'm in San Francisco now. And I thought we could just begin, since this is about synchronicity and unusual meetings, with people just meeting the people here left and right. Just say hello. So go ahead. I thought I'd begin with just reading two short paragraphs from the introduction to start us off. If our life unfolded only according to our plans, however sensible or overblown or constricted, we would miss out on many surprises. We might fail to notice how new doors are opening and ushering us into relationships that stretch us or fashion us into works of art. Our life, as designed by our cautious mind, might not include all the twists and turns that lead to the release of our creative energy or the clash of forces that make us really extraordinary. Perhaps everything happening to us in life is just as we intend. Then suddenly we meet someone or find out something or have an accident or hit bottom, and our whole world spins out in a new direction that makes all the difference. Those unexpected events beyond our control are the forces of synchronicity that make us who we are, or who we were always meant to be. And that's our topic tonight, synchronicity, which is a term coined by Jung. It comes from two Greek words that mean the times have aligned, the times have lined up so that something new could happen. It's also described very simply as meaningful coincidence. So if you were to trace back your life from your sitting here today to what got you to move to Sebastopol, or if you lived here from the beginning, how your parents got here, what relationships you've had, what happened to you in your growing up years, back to the great synchronicity in every single person's life, which is the day that your parents met. That was certainly a meaningful coincidence that led to you. So what is this about? It's a clue, one of the best clues, I think, to the fact that something more is going on than just what we devise in our minds or when we're in full control of what shape our life will take. Instead, there are other forces at work that seem to be padding us along in a certain direction, and a series of unusual coincidences occur so that we meet just the people in life who teach us what we need to know, or just the events in life that open us to our real gifts. I consider it a very exciting and a very spiritual concept, because basically what you're realizing is that something is afoot in your life story that is bigger than anything you could have imagined or devised. And maybe a good way of seeing this would be to look at the fact that it seems as if some things happen by chance. Like it just by chance that I met someone, or just by chance that I had this accident, and just by chance that I was fired from one job and I was out there and I found my real life's work. The chance has come together with a meaning that you have found. That's the synchronicity of it. When chance and meaning come together, since it seems as if chance is meaningless, it's just random, it's just a random event or a random meeting. But when what happens by chance meets up with that which has a meaning, that is what Jung meant by synchronicity. He came to this idea from the study of astrology, a coincidence between the layout of the night sky when you were born, a coincidence of the layout of the sky all through your life, and the various choices that you have made, and the doors that open and the doors that close. He also, at the same time, was studying the I Ching. It seems as if you throw the coins and they land in a chance way, yet when you open the book to match the wise saying in the book to the layout of the coins, they come together and give you a message that fits for you right now. How could this happen? It's as if there were more going on in the universe than could be accounted for, as Hamlet said, by our philosophy, or by our left brain way of thinking. So let's take a simple example. This one's a bit humorous. A young woman was very disappointed because even though she was attractive and young, she was not meeting the man of her dreams. And she really wanted to get married and have a family. But she just wasn't meeting anybody. So she went to her parish priest to ask for advice. He said, "Why don't you start a devotion to Saint Joseph, spouse of the Virgin Mary? He's the patron of young women looking for a husband." So she said, okay. She went to her local Mini Rivers bookstore and she bought statue of St. Joseph and a candle and a little prayer book. And each day, she put the statue on the bureau with the candle. And she lit the candle each night. And she said the prayers in the little devotional book to St. Joseph. And she did this day after day for a couple of months. but nobody came along. And one day, just as she was about to start the devotions again, she thought, this isn't really working. The hell with this. She became angry. She took that statue of St. Joseph and she threw it out the window. And said, I'm through with this. It doesn't work at all. In a few minutes, there was a knock on the door. There was a young man rubbing his head. He said, did you throw this statue out the window? So, you know the rest of the story. So a chance event, especially based on giving up the plan that I had, and I give up the plan that the authority tells me is the one to use and the one that I believed in, throw that away, and then something happens. A coincidence between chance and meaning. What is meaning from Jung's point of view? It has to do with a special moment in which something from the larger spiritual world becomes articulated or visible in our own here and now. He calls that meaningful. Or another way of saying it is, a connection was made between something that was usually hidden from our minds and now is suddenly known. He also based this, and I have a chapter in the book on this subject of dreams. Dreams are forms of synchronicity because you are out of control, your unconscious has taken over, and you meet up with characters and images and events in the dream that give you a message about what is happening in your life right now, or even about the future, since in the unconscious there's no serial distinction between past, present, and future. It's all one. So that's why you could dream about the future, since in the unconscious mind there is no future. It's just all simultaneous. And the fact that we have dreams, that they bring messages which we don't always understand, but if we work with them, we could find something out about ourselves. The fact that you have just the dream that speaks to your life predicament and that you didn't control it, it happened by chance, is another example of synchronicity. So everybody following so far? Any questions about this part of it? I'm just trying to give the basic definition, but I welcome questions. They help me know what I should focus on. Meaningful coincidence that happens beyond your control that opens up a whole new set of possibilities for you. These could be positive or negative. For instance, there were many synchronicities around the assassination of Kennedy and Lincoln. Lincoln dreamed that he was going to be assassinated. And then it actually happened. The sinking of the Titanic, many synchronicities. They cluster around events that have life and death significance. So if you're having a series of synchronicities, like you're having one coincidence after another that you have no control over, pay attention, because something is trying to come through that has a life-death import. Life-death could mean, of course, the death of your ego, not your physical death. Death of the ego is much harder to go through than physical death. Physical death, you just stop breathing. But death of the ego, you have to give up that great big boss in your head that thinks you're in full control of everything that happens. Okay. Other questions on this part? Yes.
I'm not sure if I'll be able to articulate this correctly, but sometimes I wonder if there's a stream of synchronous events occurring all the time, and the problem is my ability to pay attention. And so sometimes I'll wonder, okay, well, am I noticing something that's there all the time, or am I noticing and then these things just appear in the clusters? So I'm just curious to see how you hold things like that.
That's a good question. He's asking, could it be that synchronicities are happening and we're hardly even noticing them? Yes, of course. In a way, every moment is a synchronicity, because in any moment you can achieve full enlightenment. You could really wake up right now. What does wake up mean? It means that you have what Wordsworth called a flash of the invisible world, the larger world in which we live, that's so much bigger than the ego and its three poisonous concerns: greed, which is getting more and more; hate, which is turning against others and retaliating instead of trying to reconcile; and illusion, believing that the version that you have in your mind will match the reality outside. And we're continually caught in those. When we suddenly awake and are free of all three of those, that would be an enlightening moment. And since it could happen at any time, then any moment is synchronicity. But also, any moment is synchronicity because when you trace things back, like, I was doing this regarding the birth of my son. I said, okay, I met your mother at St. Mary's High School in New Haven. I was scheduled to go to the public school, but my best friend was going to the Catholic school, so I went there too, thereby meeting your mother. It's now traced to the best friend. Having Fred as my best friend, whose mother wanted him to go to a Catholic school, my mother didn't care one way or the other, having him as a friend drew me to the place where I would meet Ida. Follow what I mean? And then it's almost impossible to trace further back what would make me want Fred as a friend. See what I mean? And I mean, we went to first grade together. So do I go that far back to Josh's origins? Or should I go the Catholic route? If I hadn't been a Catholic at all, then I never would have gone to that school. So I never would have met my future wife. See what I mean? Think of this regarding your own family story. Like, how far back can you trace? And I would imagine that you would have to trace it back to Adam and Eve. Follow what I mean? So, yes, synchronicities are happening all the time, and it's just that we haven't learned ways to pay attention to what's occurring, so this would take some mindfulness. And in the book, I'm recommending processes and practices that you could use that help you pay attention to the synchronicities that are happening that you hardly even notice. Other questions on this before I go on?
Do you think meditation is helpful in being aware of them more?
Yes, mindfulness is helpful because you're focusing on the moment, and from that, a meaning could appear. Now, synchronicity has something to do with destiny. What do we mean by destiny? It comes from a Latin word which means determine, because originally it was believed that your destiny was determined by the gods, and that you had very little control over how your life would go ultimately, because the gods designed your life, and they did this through three sisters, which are called the Fates. And they were pictured as spinners. You know, they were spinning fabrics, and one is spinning and one is cutting and so forth. And so and even the gods would be relying on the Fates working in the world. So Jung asked the question, well, what's the difference between fate and destiny? And he comes up with this answer. If you're walking to it upright, that's destiny. If you're dragged to it, kicking and screaming, that's fate. So it's ultimately the same thing. So you may as well go along with the program and align yourself. This is a very different style for us Westerners, to align myself with what wants to happen. This is very different from to arrange things to happen the way I want them to. That comes from the ego, Latin word for I, capital letter I. As opposed to, well, let me pay attention to what is trying to come through and talk to me. This voice, which you can consider as Buddha mind, you could think of this as the higher self, you could think of it as the heart of the universe, you could think of it as God, you could think of it as the Holy Spirit, but it always will have something about it that's transcendent of ourselves, trying to come through so that you could fulfill your personal life purpose. And that would be the same as fulfill your destiny. What is this destiny? To fulfill yourself by using all the gifts that you have, and with them making some contribution to one person or many people or the world. And synchronicities and dreams and divination, tarot, I Ching, astrology, intuitions, sudden visions and realizations, those are the ways that this special voice articulates itself so that we could know something about where we're headed, where we need to be headed in order to fulfill ourselves and to make our contribution, shall we say. Let's use this simple example. Back in the 1930s, there was a young girl Doris Van, it's in the book, but I don't remember her last name. It's a Dutch name. Anyway, she was in high school here in America, and she had been practicing dancing, and she was an excellent dancer, and she worked it out with her mother that upon graduation from high school, she was going to go to Hollywood, mother was going to come with her, try to get into the movies as a dancer. Days of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. At her graduation party, she was out with her friends in the car, and had a terrible accident. Train hit the car. And she went to the doctor. He did all that he could. And he told her, well, I was able to do what I could, but you certainly won't be able to have the career in dancing that I know you had wanted because of the way your problems with your legs. So, of course, this made her very sad and depressed. And he also told her, you're going to have to stay at home during this entire summer. You're not going to be able to go to Hollywood. You just stay at home because you've got to recuperate. She stayed at home. You remember these, some of you remember, the days when we only had radio. She stayed home and she listened to the radio. While listening to the radio, she started singing along with the singers. When they were playing records, she would sing along, especially with the black women singers. And she started improving her voice. And she kept improving it so that when she was finally in full recovery, she said to her mother, let's still go to Hollywood. I'm going to try to join a big band and sing. That was Doris Day. So we all can believe that she certainly was meant to sing. She certainly has a beautiful voice. And she can act. And the accident is what's meant by synchronicity. Seems like it's negative, but yet it opened up a new door. And through that door, she found her real calling. If you stop to think of it, something like that has happened to you, everybody in here. Something has happened that opens you to find out more about who you really are. Does this make sense to everybody? Now, I won't embarrass anybody by asking what your examples are, but you see what I mean.
May I tell you a little story?
Yes.
In my previous life, when I was a school teacher, I was teaching remedial reading. And this was in the early 70s. The program came by Hooked on Books. And the idea was that if you give the kid the book he wants to read, he's going to learn to read. I had this program going on, and I would buy a bunch of books and bring them in, and the kids would get to order books at certain times. Then I decided that I would have the whole class read one book just so I could have a little bit of control. I chose a book that probably no one would be able to choose today. It was The Sword and the Cross and the Switchblade.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes.
Young
man, is that by a Episcopal minister?
Yes,
yeah.
He was a young man, and he decided he was going to go to New York City to work with the gangsters.
Yes. I remember
so
that.
So he said, if I put my television on, I've got to get some money to get there. If I put my television on them in the ads, if it sells the first week, it'll be a sign that I can go. He put his ad in, and he sold it the first day for the price that he had listed. I said to my class, these are seventh graders, wasn't that a coincidence? He believed that it was the will of God, of course. So the next thing, next test, I will go now because I have the money. If I can find a parking spot in this really busy part of the city where I'm supposed to work with these kids, it will be a sign. He found the parking spot right on the part of the block where he was supposed to work. I said, how about that for a coincidence? The third time that there was a sign, I said, how about that for a coincidence? One boy in the back of the classroom said, Mrs. Bodden, I have a question. I said, yes. He says, do you or do you not believe in God? I'm not going to read another word unless you tell us.
So he made the connection between the coincidences and divine voice or something. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you. And by the way, will of God would be another phrase for that which is beyond our control. Will of God is what we usually say when we've done all we could and it didn't work. I guess it was the will of God. Other questions or ideas? Yes.
For me, it's always incidents will happen. Like today, my computer crashed after I put in the program for getting on the internet, and I'm like, okay, what does it mean? Am I supposed to change server? Am I supposed to give up the internet? That's where I get coincidences happen all the time, but I never know.
What is this telling me?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with it?
Well, one thing you can do is just contemplate the mystery of it. Take a moment to notice the sense of mystery in it and not try to come up with an answer. Just see what comes on its own. That's hard for us to do because we want to come up with answers. But this is about entering into a realm in which things are not crystal clear all the time, but you just kind of piece it together. Like you're sitting there, like in the story I gave, you're sitting there recuperating, and there's no form of entertainment except a radio. You turn the radio on, and then you hear singing. And then you start to sing along. I mean, it just happens like a step at a time, and you just sort of go with it, as opposed to, oh, once I get home, I'm going to learn to sing. It's not quite like that. That would be more of the ego style. I want to know how this is done, and I want to do it. That's very different from, how can I open myself to what wants to happen? We don't think this way. We think, how can I make it happen? That would be the opposite style of what synchronicity is about. It's about things that happen that are unexpected, that are surprising, that are mysterious, that don't have a direct answer, and you just kind of And I'm a believer in just stay with it, just keep contemplating. That word contemplate is interesting. It comes from the Latin word for temple, of course, templum. Contemplate. Means within. So in Roman pre-Christian times, some of the temples had a courtyard with no roof, but within the precincts of the temples, hence contemplum, within the temple, the priests who were knowledgeable about divination would read the way the birds flew over the open space and give you answers to your questions. Hence, to contemplate is to look at mysterious, apparently random events and things and draw deeper conclusions about your destiny. Get the idea? So I'm saying that, you know, just sitting and contemplating what happens one by one may yield you some good information. Yeah?
And Maurice Nichols' commentaries on a spit scan of Gurdjieff.
Yeah.
He had the commentaries that this one group that I have worked with, we do a calendar, reading the commentaries and doing a calendar for every day. And the one that I just tore off and put up on my refrigerator to remind me, it says, we are not born from our parents. we're born from the stars. That's where our essence is from. So I was contemplating on that, and a friend came in, and we were having a discussion, and he says, it's kind of like, you know, when all of a sudden you say, wow, I know that. I says, that's when the star above goes off of us, and that essence comes into us. It's not outside of us. It goes into us. And I think that's what you were saying, synchronicity of we're from the stars.
Yes.
Our essence is from the stars. And that understanding that we get on anything is where the stars have influenced us and have moved us off of a path and onto a different path.
Mm-hmm.
That's a synchronicity of coming here tonight.
Yeah. That's a very good example. It's reminding me of two things. One is the origin of two of our English words, consider and disaster. Con means with or within. S-I-D means star. To consider is to check with the stars as to what you should do. The other word for star is aster, where you get astral. Disaster is contradicting the stars. That will be a disaster. Get the idea? So built right into the words are this appreciation of the stars. And secondly, my second example, in the ancient Greek ritual for how to behave after death, this is an Orphic ritual, something like the Tibetan Book of the Dead, you've heard of that, in which they give you some advice about what you should do as you go through various phases after you die. Anyway, the Greeks had the same idea. And in the Orphic ritual, they describe the journey that you will take through the underworld. And one of the suggestions is this. When you come to a black poplar tree, you will be asked your name. Do not give the name that you were given by your parents. Say, I am a child of the stars and the sea and the moon. That's the right answer. Don't say, I'm Dave. So, all through history, people have had this sense that there's something we know not what, that's always at work, we know not how, that's trying to come through to us, that's trying to help us, and brings exactly the people and opportunities and disasters that will get us there. It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does this synchronicity happen? A family, a generational, a national, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. First of all, in the Jungian perspective, unlike the Freudian perspective, Freud believed that we have a conscious mind and an unconscious mind, obviously. And the conscious mind is like little tip of the iceberg, and then your unconscious is very large. And every once in a while, something breaks off from this big iceberg and comes up into consciousness. So that would be a memory, or through hypnosis, or through a dream. And that this iceberg consists of all the experiences that you had in your childhood that you have repressed, forgotten, or denied. Like things your parents did to you, or things somebody else did, or things that happened, and you push them down into this big iceberg. And every once in a while, you remember something. So that's his point of view. And of course, that makes the unconscious unique and personal to each one of us. So my unconscious contains New Haven, Connecticut, whereas yours does not. Yours contains whatever city you were brought up in. Everybody follow?
Mm-hmm.
But Jung added something which Freud disagreed with. He said, this, I agree that there's this big iceberg, but part of it is not just unique and personal, containing our family history. Part of it contains the history of all humanity. He called this the collective unconscious. So I have a personal unconscious and a collective. Some of our dreams bring up splinters from the personal unconscious, like dreams about our family life, and others bring up themes from the story of humanity. The central story of humanity is the hero's journey. So when you have a dream that has a feeling of a, you know, heroes and villains and assisting forces and afflicting forces, that would be an example of the dream from the collective imagination of humanity. Perfect example would be the Wizard of Oz. Because if you think of the visit to Oz as a dream, then it's entirely full of collective themes. Her aunt isn't there. Her uncle isn't there. Her mother's not there. But the Wicked Witch is there. The Good Witch is there. Those are large figures from the stories of all humanity. Follow what I mean? And we sometimes have that kind of a dream. You'll know you have that kind of a dream because it fills you with a sense of eerie connection to the spiritual, and it's unforgettable, unlike other dreams that are easily forgotten. So some synchronicities come from the collective sense of ourselves, and others have to do with our simple personal life. So in the story of the young girl who threw the statue of St. Joseph out the window, that would be personal. But if your synchronicity has something to do with some really big event that somehow touches in on what happens in the rest of the world, which most of us don't have this experience, but some of us do, that would be collective. I'll give a simple example. Who was the general that George C. Scott played the part of?
Patton.
Yeah. Patton was asked, where did you get this wonderful sense of strategy? You are an expert on the strategy of war. Where did you get this? Now, he could have said, well, I went to West Point, and I was one of the smartest students. And I made it my business to learn about strategy. But that's not what he said. He said, I am a direct descendant of the consciousness of Alexander the Great and all the other great generals of history. They have given me the gift of their sense of strategy. It's a beautiful answer, really, because what he's saying is, I don't take credit myself. I received it from my forebears. They chose me. I'm in direct line from all the other generals. I mean, whether or not you're anti-war, you get the idea. That would be an example of a collective realization. I'm part of this this heritage of war making strategies, and it's a gift that I've been given, and I'll use it the best way I can. Other questions about this? These are really good questions helping us to flesh out the topic in ways that fit your interests, which is what I want to do. Okay. Yeah.
Do you feel that we can somehow consciously create our destiny instead of floating along kind of unconsciously, you know, and kind of direct it more in our way that we want it to go?
Yes, I see what you mean. So I have two answers. The first is a reminder of our ancient Greek word hubris, which means, translated as pride or arrogance, but this is what it means really. It's that you believe that everything that happens is entirely based on you rather than a gift from the gods. And I carefully read the Iliad and the Odyssey with this in mind. Never is there one example of an event, a victory in battle, a wise realization in which they don't say, thanks to Hermes, thanks to Artemis, thanks to Zeus, thanks to Apollo. I found this out thanks to Hermes. I won this victory thanks to Athena. There is no Athena and so forth. They're just metaphors. But what are they actually saying? Somehow they felt closer to the spiritual, that there's more going on here. I'm receiving support invisibly. To them it was from Mount Olympus. To us it's the whole universe. But that's the first answer to the question, can I completely design my own destiny? So you want to keep the gods in mind when you design your lifestyle. So that's the first thing. And secondly, the way that you can make your destiny more deliberate or more conscious is to look at the gifts you've been given and to try to find the lifestyle and the vocation, the career that matches your gifts. And of course, the biggest interference from that happening is society. Because let's take a simple example. Most of us were brought up to believe that the pathway through life is get your high school diploma, go to college, meet somebody, get married, have children, raise them, make enough money to send them to college, and retire.
And die.
And then die. But what if you were not cut out for that? What if you weren't meant to be a householder and all, but yet you just did it automatically? You just went through the paces like everybody else. You didn't stop to think, wait a minute, what are my peculiar, unique gifts and proclivities? Where do I feel myself drawn? That's when you make your destiny more conscious and deliberate. As opposed to, I'm just going to do what everybody else does without even giving it a thought. Virginia Woolf has such a beautiful comment on this in her journals that she was writing while she was writing the novel, The Waves. She was contemplating the idea of waves in the sea. And she said, there are waves by which a life is measured that do not match the conventional milestones get it? Your life has a certain set of waves that don't match what the society is telling you you're supposed to be doing at this time. You're a young girl. You're supposed to be having children. You should be married by now, not out with your friends all the time. So there are the conventional milestones, but there are waves. Imagine on your wedding day, if the wave was toward going into seclusion, yet here you are getting married. See how strange that would be? Or you were never kind of like my father. I mean, he left when I was two. Then he left the second wife and my two sisters. Because he was never cut out to be a householder. But he was a householder because that's what guys do in New Haven. The conventional milestone. Instead of, well, wait a minute, what do I really want? Follow what I mean? Good. Does that answer what you brought up? Or this? Okay, there was another question? Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually kind of along the same lines around like co-creating a coincidence.
So yes, good work.
Further, you know, something I've been doing, playing around with, is just like asking for a sign or asking to see if I'm on the right track with something, and then having really amazing things happen. So just being playing a role in coincidence, playing a role in manifesting the coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for it and making it happen.
Yes. I would do that by let me be continually open to the messages that are trying to come through to me today from people, places, and things. It's a kind of hearing, a kind of, you know, orienting yourself to let in. It won't happen if you have all the answers and you're shut within yourself and you're rigid and you've got it all set up exactly as you want it. As the poem says by Robert Burns, the best laid schemes of mice and men oft go awry and leave us naught but grief and pain for promised joy. So you know, you make these plans, and when they don't come through, you feel pain. But from this perspective, there are ways of appreciating when they don't come through and say, oh, maybe a door is going to open. It also has a lot to do with timing. Remember that thing in the Bible about, you know, it's time to live, time to die? I expanded on that because another important feature of synchronicity is timing. Like, how to know your timing? Like, what's the timing for a graceful exit? Going to work every day, doing something that you hate, what's the moment at which you say, I'm going to an enchanted April? See what I mean? So I have, there's a time to take hold and a time to let go. There's a time to fight and a time to retreat. There's a time to take on more cargo. There's a time to jettison the cargo. Lighten up. There's a time to hold a hand, a time to let go of a hand. Try it on your own. A time to jump to it and a time to sit with it. A time to control or a time to allow. A time to break rules or a time to follow rules. A time to make a choice or a time to take a chance. A time to do or a time to be. So the psyche is a wise system, psyche, that is our whole mind-body, which seems separate, seems like I'm over here, you're over there. But in reality, it's just all one experience, and we're just articulations of a oneness. The psyche is a wise system that knows just when to open to the world and when to close off from it. It knows how and when to be born or reborn or die. Like there's something in you that already knows how to die. Just as there was something in you that knew it was time to be born. And you started breaking the water sack and saying, let me out of here. But, you know, our whole life is about timing. We were born because something about that time of the month did not happen. That was the origin of us. And then we're in there for a certain exact amount of time. Unless it was one of these deals where the doctor decided when you were going to come out, no matter what. But I mean, if you respect the timing, then you just let it happen.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask if you had heard of the concept of sub-brains. Like, we have three brains in our head, correct? And then I've heard the term sub-brains for the different glandular centers along the spine there.
That we have a mammalian brain, part of our brain that came from just being mammals. And then we have the outer layer, which is the part of us that's the rational beings that we are. And then we have a reptilian type of brain, which just knows about fight, flight, flee, freeze. Mm-hmm. Just has little words like that. And so you would want to act from all three. Question? Yeah. Oh, you had more.
I just had actually a totally different question.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there isn't an answer to this, but you know when a bunch of coincidences happen, like you've got a couple crises on your hands, and then just like your wallet gets stolen on top of it. And
yes,
then, like,
a series.
Yes. And like. Is there a prescription of what that means? There probably isn't, but, you know, sometimes I just really wonder.
I do have my thing. I have.
Why? You know?
Yes, I have my list in here. It's precisely about that. But basically, let's simply say, if there's a series of losses, it's time to let go. Not time to make sure you don't lose anymore. Because remember, you're trying to align yourself with what wants to happen, trusting, which is the only way you could do this, trusting that something is at work that is bigger than yourself. I have it stated in here very nicely. So I will read it from this one about the
Which
sacred.
This
is the Sacred Heart of the World, about mystical, bringing mystical devotion to our spiritual life. So follow this. I think it's really good for people who, especially, can't believe that there's a God, you know, up there. Something, capital S, something, we know not what, is always and everywhere lovingly at work, we know not how, to make the world more than it is now, to make us more than we are yet. That something is at once divine spirit, life force of the universe, and our own unique aliveness, one sacred heart, never apart. So that you could live with as a way of describing this spiritual power, what in AA is called a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, synchronicity has something to do with how this higher power, higher than what? Higher than our ego, that wants to be in control. So something that designs life when we didn't have full say-so. When is that? Every moment. So back to your question. A series, you want to go with what the series is trying to say. Series of opportunity, get with it. Take hold, go with it. Series of losses, let go of even more. My little affirmation for series of losses, I think you'll like. I let go of more than any fate can take. Follow? Kind of reminds me of the statement in the New Testament, if somebody asks for your coat, give them your shirt too. Go into it even more instead of, oh, I lost my wallet, I better be careful next time. Not that you're going to be foolish about it, but, oh, I'm getting a message here that I'm not in full control, that money is kind of passing through, and it's not something I'm supposed to be clinging to. I suppose we've all noticed that. There's another question on this.
I had a dream last night about, I'm not really into the 12 steps that much, but I had the dream about the second step, which I think is,
came to believe, the second step is about coming to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to serenity.
Yes.
Just kind of seemed synchronistic that you were just talking about that. So maybe the message here for me is to
go to the program?
No.
I'm not doing
that.
Oh, okay.
Turning it over to spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's acknowledging something greater than ourselves.
Working through you in your life.
Yeah. Without pushing it as necessarily overly religious. Well, our time is almost up, but I want to end with a beautiful poem. Since we've been talking about this fact that synchronicity has something to do with a power beyond ourselves, especially one that kicks in when things are at their lowest ebb and we have no control left and we really seem to be in despair. This section from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge speaks to that subject. It's very beautiful, very touching, and I would like to end with this before we have any book signing, and please come up and talk to me personally if you'd like. In this part of the story, this sailor has killed a bird of good omen, namely the albatross, and as punishment, the albatross has been hung around his neck, hence the saying, it's like an albatross around my neck. And he's very alone because the crew, because of the bad luck that he's brought to the ship, since he's the jinx, the crew has died. There's no water, and he can't sleep. And in this scene, which takes place at night under the moon, he's sitting on the edge of the ship, looking out into the dark sea. Alone, alone, all alone, alone on a wide, wide sea, and never a saint to pity on my soul in agony. A thousand, thousand slimy things lived on, and so did I. The moving moon went up the sky, and nowhere did abide. Softly she was going up, with a star or two beside. Her beams bemock the sultry main like April hoarfrost spread, and where the ship's huge shadow lay, the charmed water burnt alway a still and awful red. Beyond the shadow of the ship, I watched the water snakes. They moved in tracks of shining white, and when they reared, an elfish light fell off in hoary flakes. Beyond the shadow of the ship, I watched their rich attire, blue, glossy green, velvet black. They coiled and swam, and every track was a flame of golden fire. Oh, happy living things, no tongue their beauty might declare. A spring of love gushed from my heart, and I blessed them unaware. Sure, my kind saint took pity on me, and I blessed them unaware. The selfsame moment I could pray, and from my neck so free, the albatross fell off and sank like lead into the sea. Ah, sleep, it is a gentle thing, beloved from pole to pole, to Mary, Queen, the praise be given. She sent the gentle sleep from heaven that slid into my soul. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you all for coming tonight. I have a few quick closing announcements. One thing I want to mention is that this Saturday, Many Rivers Books and Tea is having a tea tasting here at 3 p.m. And we're doing the Essence of Oolong. Our tea tastings are a lot of fun. We get to sample five or six teas here for free. And you get to ask all the kinds of questions you want and explore the tea section of our store. Tomorrow, Friday, there is an ongoing class called the Yoga of Spacious Awareness. You're welcome to attend that. It's in our schedule of events, which is on the corner. And finally, I'd like to mention that Many Rivers Books and Tea has adopted the Buddhist custom of dana, or generosity. So there is a donation bowl on the counter. A portion of the donation goes to our speaker to support his work. A portion goes to the store so that we can continue to have events here on Thursday evenings and other evenings at Many Rivers Books and Tea. And if you, all the books are here, and Dave is happy to sign them, and stick around and join in conversation. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you.